At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo!
You should have been pulled in the front, but they have faith in you. You should have been pulled.
It's the Palazzo Podcast. You got the two mics today. It's the Mike and Mike Show, the old ESPN standby from ESPN Radio days. Apparently, Rich Eisen is going back to ESPN. I don't know if that's the move he thinks it is. You know, 30 years ago it was, but today I don't know if it's the same thing. He's going to be at ESPN Radio. I didn't even know that was still a thing, Mike Virginia. As we start our Friday off, you and I, take it all in, Mike. Let it out.
It's crazy. That I didn't hear that he's going back. Was he with NFL Network, if I'm not mistaken?
He's still with them, but he does like his show syndicated on somewhere I lost track of, Peacock or something, and now he's taking it back to ESPN. But he's still doing the NFL Network stuff. I don't know. Who cares? I'm glad to see you. Welcome.
Thank you, buddy. It has been. I feel like I haven't been on the show in a while, but I was at the beach last weekend with my family, so it was good. Ocean City, Maryland. I know I checked in with
Beautiful.
You.
Beautiful.
I believe I was
yeah.
there. Yeah. Had a good time.
How was Secrets?
We did not go to Secrets. We passed by it. But we went to, we went to Mackey's, which is popular. It's on the Bayside. But got to do all the stuff that I did as a kid with my son. So that was fun.
Excellent, man.
That's spoken like a true asshole.
No, it's not. Mike's awesome. I'm just looking to get that button in early off, and I got a new one here.
You're smoking like a true asshole.
Happy Gilmore, too. Can't wait to watch it.
I've not seen it. I haven't heard. I saw the Fantastic Four. I should come
you
on
did.
Cinema 9 with you to do that review.
Travis talked about it earlier. He saw it last night. Didn't say anything, obviously, no spoilers, but he said he liked it. Did you like it, or was it like, whoa, Marvel's back?
So this is the thing, because like, I read all the hype, and I know this is a baseball show. Forgive me. I just want to get this on the record. As I am a big movie buff, I love movies, especially the Marvel MCU. But with the Fantastic Four, I liked it. I did not love it. I didn't think it was a, you know, all the reviews. Like if you see the commercials, they say like, you know, best Marvel movie buff. Like they hype it up. Of course, they have to, right? I thought it was good, not great. So if I had to
good
give
job.
It a grade, and this is something I do with my wife all the time, you rate movies A, B, C, D, or F.
Okay.
And A movies. Those you don't throw around those lightly, Govier. I'm talking about like those are like your Goodfellas or The Godfather or like the creme de la creme.
You yeah,
have so
sure.
Many A's. So
sure.
I had to give it a grade. I'm going to give it a solid C+.
That seems to be the consensus from people I know. I'm hoping to see it this weekend if I can find the time. But I'm glad you watched it.
Yeah, it's worth going to the movie theaters for. And I won't give it away, but it is. It's a good flick.
Did you see Superman, dude? That was awesome.
See, I've heard mixed reviews on that, too. Was that good?
No! You gotta go. I loved it, dude. And I wasn't expecting it to be amazing. I would strongly recommend you see Superman in theater before it leaves. Right. I would.
It's funny, because we were walking out at the same time. Superman and Fantastic Four ended at the exact same time. It was weird. And both theaters were exiting the theater at the same time, so the hallway was super crowded. But
was it just filled with spoilers for both movies? So one side's here and all. Like, no! I don't want to hear that!
Yeah. Jurassic World was a B+. Is that the new one? Did you see that one?
No, man. Those movies have jumped the shark. We're all lost on where it is. They all seem ubiquitous, meaning that they're just there all the time. They don't have a specialness to them like Jurassic Park the original did at all. I like Scarlett Johansson, of course, and I'm sure the cast is fine, but I'd be shocked if the movie was a B+. I don't know you, Brizo. I'm glad you're here. By the way, he says he's a big fan. I assume he likes you a lot because he's from the Twitter X side, Mike. You know Brizo?
He's on... Yeah, him and I interact quite a bit on Twitter. Brizo, if you haven't done so, if you haven't done so already, make sure I'm a big fan of YouTube, Brizo. Thank you for being here. If you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. That'd be great. I'm with you, Gove. Like, hot take here. I didn't really care for any of the Jurassic Park movies after the first one. So,
I saw one of them in theaters. And I regretted it.
Is that a hot take? Like the guys?
Not really anymore.
I suck with names. Who's the actor?
Maybe 5 years ago it was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the guy, Chris, one of the Chris's. And
yes, I forgot his
name. The Office Chris. Chris Pratt.
Yes. Chris Pratt, yes. I saw half of that first one that he was introduced into the Jurassic Park, you know, world, and I saw half of that, and I stopped watching it, so.
Yeah, it's trash, if you know what I mean.
That's spoken like a true asshole.
Well, no, the movie's an asshole. It doesn't mean anybody on the show is an ass. Mm-hmm. But it is true. Me and Mike, man, we haven't done a show in a minute together, and life is happening all around us. We're busy people. So it's great to be here, you and I. Britton will return next week. He's wrapping up a summer vacation with the fam. Should be home tomorrow from what he told us. So Britton's alive and well, chilling, doing his thing. We did a show last week, me and Sam. Sam made his yearly appearance, so it was great to have Sam on when Mike popped in. That was fun. Mm-hmm. So make sure you guys check out Sam wherever he finds himself in the internet world. Of course, you can follow Mike Virginia at underscore Mike. Yay! I'm an MJ Govier. All of our links are in our description of every show. We just cracked 1,150 subs on YouTube. So well done, everybody. We made excellent progress this year. Very, very well done. Very exciting. How about a question right off the bat from Joe G? Any concerns about Naylor hitting in Seattle? Also the same as Suarez goes there.
Yeah, here's the thing with the ballpark factor and people get scared over, like, it is a thing, but I'm not putting a whole lot of weight into it. Like, Josh Naylor's still a good hitter. Will his home runs regress maybe some? Yeah, a tad. But this is a first baseman. He's a big boy. He can get him out there in Seattle. So, not to mention too, you know, he's not playing all of his games in there either. So. I still like him roughly. If I did rankings, I would like him roughly about the same, maybe a slide back. But I'm not concerned here. With Suarez, maybe a tad there too. But from what I've read, Gove, and especially too, because I'm a big Eugenio Suarez fan, in case anybody hasn't
heard that yet.
Apparently the asking price for Suarez is extremely high. So, and there's been a lot of teams in on him. I do think he will get moved, but I don't think Seattle's going to be the play there. So I think he goes
to... You guys are so up your asses.
Great one. I love that button.
Me too. It's a classic.
I think he goes to... The Yankees are going to be at him because they just traded for Ryan McMahon today, if you guys haven't heard. I think he can go somewhere like the Cubs. I know Cincinnati was in on him. Sleeper here, I think, could be in on him is Houston. I think the Astros could make a play for him because I don't think Isak Paredes, I think it's going to be a while for him to come back.
Go Tigers!
That might be it. You know what, too? Like, the Tigers have been in on him as well. I've heard a lot of teams. So
if
I had to pick, though, I'm guessing it's going to be the Cubs. That's my guess. Or the Phillies because Alec Home went on the IL as well.
Yeah, he did. That was poor information, in my opinion. Bohm has a rib issue during the All-Star break, but then he comes back Friday. And, all right, we're ready to go, but then he's on the IL Saturday. So what the hell, man? That was bogus for me. But I was weary. Wait. Weary or weary?
Shit. It's interchangeable.
It is not interchangeable.
It is. They both
do mean
sound
two
fine.
Different things. They sound fine. Okay, great. Then I'll just log it in. I know I'm going to hear from my friend Steve. The grammar overlord is going to hit us up on this one because he's hit me up on this before. So
weary and weary?
Yeah.
Mean two different
things? One means like tired. One means like hesitant. So weary, here it is. Weary is feeling or showing tiredness. Wary is feeling or showing caution about possible concerns. There you go, Mike.
Can you hit the, you guys just blow up your asses button again?
You guys are so up your asses.
We really are, obviously. That's a shout out for my friend Steve. Star Platinum's here, one of our regulars. Brandon Walter, IL, womp womp. It was a good run. Had a nice little moment.
I saw this too. Is everybody on Twitter saying, "Be like, oh, this sucks." Was he having like? I understand that a couple good starts, but was he stringing together a couple that were really good? Like, why are people so bummed about this? I mean, I don't want anybody to get hurt, but
of course not, Mike. But yeah, it was limited appearances. But as you'll see here on the stats I pull up live on the YouTube, not a bad run so far. 46 innings, pretty good, pretty good.
Yeah, decent.
So he was playing well during these 46 innings he got, which all happened over the last 6 weeks. So it was fresh, and it was somebody you could rely on, but it didn't last. And I think Chad called me out and said it wouldn't last. So I guess you're right, Chad, on this one. But, hey, that's okay. Life goes on. Yep. We're going to talk more about the trade deadline, of course. We got the Josh Naylor deal, Ryan McMahon that was mentioned, and other randomness that we decided to partake in. The live chat is open 24/7, 365. We love hearing from you guys. This is an interactive show. Anything to like on Tristan Beck or Bradley Blaylock or Tanner Gordon? That's some deeper cuts here. I don't really. If it's Bradley Blaylock pitches for Coors in the Rockies, I'm immediately like,
Coors.
No way.
Yeah, I'm out. I don't have any strong thoughts on that.
I think the next. There's Chad. I think the next trade domino is a monster one. I need a drum roll for this one, Govier. Let's see if I got a drum roll. I don't know if I do.
You guys are so. Up your ass.
I know we are. But yeah, here we go. Okay. This is the best I can do on short notice. I hope it works. And it's a timpani, so it's not a snare drum. If you guys are snobs about drums, you're like, dude, that's not a snare drum. That's not the official drum roll. So here you go, Chad.
I know we're going to get that.
Oh, that's there it is. And Chad says, bling, ding. Oh, he's going with the... Where's your trade? I'm giving you.
Where's the trade? I don't see anything.
I gave you the. I don't see one either. Well, that was.
Let us know, Chad.
That was a bust. You're supposed to type that, and then you can type it again. And I promise, as a good producer, I will follow up in kind. So,
yeah.
Let me go back in time here real quick. Anthony also says, "Is this a new movie show, or is it still
new
baseball?
Show, movie takes, or is it still baseball?
Both. We're still doing. Uncle T says, "Go, what do you think about your boy Troy Melton in Detroit? Have you seen what he did in his debut on Tuesday, Mike? He was pretty good.
I did.
Even though he lost to Pittsburgh.
I did stream him in a couple spots in a couple deeper leagues. And I hung on to him in one, cut him in another, but because I need pitching really bad. I leave it to you here. I know he was a popular pickup, and I saw on Twitter his stats in the minors so far. It looked pretty good. I was expecting better results from Pittsburgh. Not too much better, but he did give up some runs and got the loss. So what do you think here?
Seven Ks.
Yeah. Ks were great, and I think that's something that you can maybe get a decent amount. Like, it is Pittsburgh, so I like to see how he does against other teams. But what do you think here?
Look, Pittsburgh... They got swept by the White Sox, I think, and then they sweep the Tigers. My Tigers are in trouble. I was trying to allude to this recently. I didn't want to be a buzzkill, but this has always been my concern. You get so high, you can't stay there forever. Baseball humbles you like no other sport humbles anybody. It's the ultimate humbler, if that's a word. And I like Melton a fair amount. I think he's got some real stuff and a solid potential with pitching coach Chris Fetter and that organization behind him. So... My only bummer is that I dropped Spencer Horwitz on Sunday, and then he's had a grand slam against Melton, I believe, and he had a 3-for-4 game, so now I'm depressed about that. But I'll move through it. I won't let it linger like I did the Spencer Steer depression. That was a lengthy one. However, Spencer Steer did cool off tremendously in July, so I don't feel so bad about it now.
He did. Whew. I was in that same boat with you with panicking because I did drop him, not right before he got hot, but... quite a while, like a couple weeks before he got hot. And I was like, shit. And I'm glad that it's cooled down some. I still think he has some value rest of season. But, we knew the cool-off was coming, right?
Yes, we did. Yeah, and, I mean, I just dropped him right as he... When you get a guy who you've held on to all year, and then the next week he has a 3-home-run game, that is pain, man. That hurts.
Happens all the time. All the freaking time, man. All the time.
Oh, here's one right up your alley. It must be mentioned. R.I.P. Hulk Hogan, says Anthony.
Hulkster. You know what's fun?
Complicated legacy, they say, Mike.
Yeah. I don't want to get into a too deep rabbit hole. It's funny that, not funny that he died, but funny that people refer to him as Hulk Hogan. Like, everyone knows that's not his real name, right?
Sure, of course they do.
That's his wrestling name.
Terry Bollea!
Yeah, so, and apparently, I didn't know this either, but apparently he said some very controversial things a long time ago outside of the wrestling world. Apparently he's not a nice guy, so...
He said some racist things that are absolutely on tape, unfortunately. So you can't hide from it. He couldn't deny it. And that tainted his legacy, because if that hadn't happened, man, the guy was a golden god. He was.
Yep. I mean, he's arguably responsible for both two different companies, WCW and WWF, taking off.
Absolutely.
So,
no doubt about it. Oh, here we go.
That's right.
NWO for life, says Mason.
Got to do that.
I can't believe I don't have any Hogan drops. I'll have to fix that in post. But yeah, there's Hogan's gone.
So. There's a hashtag that said RIP brother. Do you know that was
well,
his thing all the time?
He's gone now. He cracked 70, though. For a wrestler, that's impressive, which is sad, but true, unfortunately. Yeah.
A lot of deaths. Ozzy Osbourne, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah! Ozzy Osbourne, Huxtable. Man. Theo Huxtable, yes. Theo Huxtable. Also, no one's talking about Chuck Mangione. He died the same day.
Yes.
Do you have any idea who that is?
He's a drummer, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Well, he's a flugelhorn player. And if you play the song, I can't play it because YouTube will cancel us, but look up Chuck Mangione, play his most famous song, and everybody will know it because it doesn't have any words. It's just an instrumental. It's called Feel So Good, but you know it. As soon as you put it on, you're like, oh, yeah, that song.
Got it.
You're doing it justice right now. Actually, speaking of Marvel, it's in the first Doctor Strange when he's doing surgery early on. It's one of his trivias. So you can go check that out. Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, look who's here. I haven't seen Frank in forever. What's up, Frank? I haven't seen Frank in like 2 months.
Yeah. How are your shirts going, man? Are you still stealing shirts from everybody? Or wait, people are stealing his shirts.
They're stealing his shirts. That's right.
Actually, I stole this shirt from Frank.
Great job.
Good to see you, Frank. Welcome back, my friend. Chad says he was a Florida man. It comes with the territory. Yeah, well, let's not.
Clearwater.
I see you're saying. Florida has some issues. Chuck Mangione hurt me. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. That's awful. No, I don't. I didn't mean that one. I posted the big domino a couple times above, by the way, Gobier. Did you?
Yeah, I saw it. It was Arenado and Helsley the Tigers, yeah.
So Helsley said he's 90% sure he's going to get traded, 10% he stays. He literally said this yesterday. So he knows that he's on the move, so that checks out. I don't know if I'd want Aaron. I know they need veterans. The Tigers do need some veterans, and Arenado fits that profile. But his bat has fallen off so hard. We really need hitters right now who can hit, not defenders.
Yeah, like here's the thing for me with I'm glad this is a good segue, Gov, because I'd like to unpack this a little bit with you. Closers, I know we've talked about it a couple times on this show and speculating on who could be moved and who gets the next chance in the crack, but out of all of the closers that are apparently on the wire and, you know, not wire, but looking to get dealt, you know, you got Ryan Helsley, you got Johan Duran, you got Griffin Jacks, you got David Bednar. I think Emmanuel Clase has also been linked to possibly being moved. I'd be shocked if that was the case, but I could see
Cleveland's eating up.
Yeah. But out of the closers that I just mentioned, like, where do we think these guys like go? That who desperately needs a closer, I guess, is what I'm saying. The two off my head would be the Dodgers and the Phillies, right? Like, those have to be the two top.
What about the Tigers?
Has Will Vest not been that good? Like, I think Will Vest has been a revelation for you guys this year, right? Like, he's been pretty solid.
Well, I mean, you can't complain. He's got 16 saves, 50K. He's not, like, super dominant, so maybe that's why people... Mm-hmm. Say that, but you're right. He's been good. I think maybe it's just not a name, a household name, so it looks suspect. But you're right. Will Vest has been good. Yeah. You're right.
They could move him back to like a high leverage role, but Tommy Canley's been good as well for the most part.
Well, he was. He died. He died a terrible death right around the All-Star break, in particular against Seattle in a very tragic ending. It was a good run. It was a good run, but it ended terribly, so he's out. Chad says, you're assuming they have to be closers, Mike. I'm like,
yes,
well.
Yes. Well, I hear what you're saying, Chad. Yes, that's fair. Like, if David Bednar gets moved to a spot, or Aroldis Chapman, some of those guys, like, who knows if they are eighth or ninth inning guys. But I think a perfect fit for Bednar would, and he's been rock solid. I just looked into him today, actually. He's been rock solid over the past, like, month, 2 months. He hasn't given up any runs. His whip has been microscopic, and he's striking out dudes again. I think he might be the cheaper version for somebody like the Dodgers to go out and grab as a ninth inning guy. And I know they got Blake Treinen coming back. I know a lot of people are speculating on him as a saves guy. I think they like him better in as a high leverage dude. But I really like Bednar to get moved to a contender like the Phillies or the Dodgers. I think this is the number one guy that I think a lot of people will be targeting for a closer role.
There you go.
I'm locking that in.
Someone else needs a closer on the East Coast in the Chesapeake Bay area, too.
My boy, yeah. Felix Bautista went down. Yeah, those are already dealt Gregory Soto today to the Mets. So looks like they're going to start shipping some dudes out here. I wouldn't be surprised if Sir Anthony Dominguez follows suit and is also out of there.
Okay.
For those of you guys who are wondering, Felix Bautista.
Bautista?
Yeah. He's went under an MRI, and they're not releasing. I guess the results are talking about it until next week. So it does not sound good. He heard himself warming up, which I don't know how the hell you do that, but that can't be good.
He's just so strong, Mike. That's what it is. Bautista. Buck Martinez tribute. Let's knock out some business time real quick here, and then we'll get into some more stuff. Beautiful Friday here. Late July. Deadline's right around the corner. By the way, we'll hop on next week for the deadline. I'm hoping to. We'll do a special show maybe that night or some around there for sure.
I'll stay tuned on that.
Yeah, see? We all want to hop on. I want to give a shout-out first to the Scott Fishbowl. Yes, I know it's fantasy football, but I drafted live last Saturday and met some new people, and that's always cool. It's a brand-new experience, and it was all for a good cause. So I want to give some shout-outs to Rory and Jeff and Taco and Ryan and Spencer. Spencer's a guy. It turns out we're in the Detroit live draft, doing a live draft at a bar, and Spencer lives 5 minutes from me in Windsor. So that was cool.
There you go.
We had a great time. So some of those guys follow the show. They're checking us out. They're like, you guys do football? I'm like, yeah, it's right around the corner. So you'll be seeing some of that. I know baseball people get pissed every time I say it, but just deal with it. It's like, you know, being a parent. You don't have to watch certain things. You don't have to let your kids watch certain things. So just monitor and adjust, okay?
It's so odd to me, by the way.
I said it to the football guys in person, and they all said the same thing. Like, dude, yeah, baseball people are crazy about it, man. But the football guys don't care. They like baseball. Most of the guys at the table played fantasy baseball.
Yeah, I play both equally as much, and I think it's good. They're quite completely different sports, and they're both equally fun for me. So, but even if you don't like something, too, like I said, it's like announcing you're leaving the airport. Nobody cares. So,
yeah, don't hate the player. Don't hate the game. Just don't hate. Skip the hate, okay?
Exactly.
Mike, over on the Twitter X, you still rolling? Hashtag MikeVANotes.
Those have slowed down a little bit. For those of you guys who don't know, my wife and I are expecting our second, which is coming up here really quick in the next couple weeks here. So mid-August. We are welcoming a Mrs. Virginia. So we are having a girl this time. So
all right.
Yeah, there'll be a little bit of a different name of the game there, but I have slowed down a little bit. But I have been doing some Q&As and getting on there and engaging with a lot of folks on there. So I appreciate all the great questions. I appreciate all you guys with the kind words and all that good stuff.
Great job.
I'm hoping that we can continue and get you guys across the finish line for some baseball championships. So.
Yeah, and Mike will be taking a break once the baby is born, correct? So after August 18th, Mike will be chilling until the next episode. So get your Mike Virginia fix on this show while you can. He'll be back someday, but he's got to take a break.
Yeah, yep. And thank you guys for the kind words, and Joe, thank you. I appreciate it, sir. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, I was putting it right out, man. Woohoo!
Woo! Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah!
Thank you, Jesus!
I got to whip out all my new all my baby stuff that I put in my storage. I got to pull, you know, all that stuff and put all that stuff out and get my. I'm the night shift guy, so I got to be the dude that's up at 2-3 o'clock in the morning. So.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Night shift. Well, she's doing a lot of the heavy work. It's the least he can do.
That's right.
Bizza, a regular, going on 8 years and not playing fantasy football. There it is. See, just couldn't keep it to yourself.
Couldn't resist. Yeah.
Gotta get it out there. That's fine. Check out the Discord. It's free. The Patreon's over there. Starts at $3. Check it out. There will be football stuff there. I'm not doing betting this year, like I said, but there is there will be lots of fantasy football stuff, too. So we'll start talking about that. Also, I'm not doing betting, but I still talk like over-unders and things like that. We're going to do an over-under show real quick like we do the last couple of years, a tradition we've got going on.
Which if you guys haven't checked out before in the past, even if you're not a fantasy football guy and you just like the sport of football, it's a really entertaining show. Believe it or not, I was bored at work, and I actually had our results written down in terms of how we finished up. But really? If you guys didn't watch, yeah, and I watched the show, and it's fun because there's some outrageous shit that we've said, and we're like, oh, there's no way that's happening, and then we're completely wrong. But I'm going to give us some credit here. There were some things that we were right on the nose, right on the money on. So highly entertaining. Come talk shit. We want to hear your takes and your records on the show as well. So definitely recommend you check it out and go back and watch the other ones.
Hell yeah. That's what I'm talking about right there, baby. Woohoo! All right.
Great job.
Let's get into... Of course, follow Robbie Baseball, Big Gentle Ben, and everybody else in our Palazzo Galaxy Stars. Britton Allen, 2 T's, 2 L's. Leading off. All right, and we always have our catch of the day.
Our first catch of the day.
So, obviously, big news. Josh Naylor's on the move to Seattle. Seattle strikes first again. That was the cover story today. Just like last year, a literal show graphic was Randy Arozarena to Seattle. Who's next? So Seattle loves to kick off the trade deadline a little ahead of schedule. And we already covered that Josh Naylor will be playing his home games in T-Mobile Park. I think he had 11 dongs. I don't know if he has 12 now or what. But the power is not as strong as it was last year, even in Arizona. So there's been a power outage, which to me means that there's more power on the bone of his bat before this season's over, because he's got to crack 20. I don't care where he plays.
Yeah, I would venture to say that's fair. Now, a lot of people will say that's going to be harder to do in T-Mobile Park, and it is a pitcher's ballpark for those of you guys who are new to baseball or fantasy baseball. A lot harder to hit home runs there than it is in Arizona. So, but at the same time, too, we talked about it earlier in the show. Go and rewind the tapes. This is still a good hitter. It's just a guy that's still going to have plenty of RBI opportunities. Somewhere in between Randy Arozarena and Cal Raleigh, probably. You know, either after those guys or between those guys, reform, whatever. But solid first baseman for fantasy too. So again, I think this is somebody that's takes a slight hit, but not too much as you think. So
yeah, his barrel percentage, Naylor's barrel percentage is down a tad, like 2%, 1.5%. So if that comes up a little bit, get some more barrels, there could be some more pops. But everything else looks pretty much the same. So it's just a matter of luck. I know people hate that word in baseball, but it's certainly important to have luck. You know what I mean?
Nice job.
Yeah.
About a 9 on the tension scale, Rube.
Okay, I'll take it down a notch. I'm sorry. Naylor's gone. Might be man. So I was wrong. On the Sam show, I was calling Yoan Moncada traded to the Yankees. That was my trade last week. I thought the Angels would deal a third baseman that Moncada fit the profile, that short right porch for Yankee Stadium. I don't like the Yankees, but it made sense. But it ends up being Ryan McMahon from Coors. He's gone. Coors. And now he gets to hit a Yankee Stadium, which is also good for him because he's a lefty.
Yep. And a short porch out there for them in New York. So I also thought Moncada was a good fit for the Yankees because it was a cheaper version. I'm not saying that the Yankee. I don't know enough about the two prospects they gave up for Ryan McMahon, but I like his bat better. He's obviously the healthier of the two. So,
yeah,
I kind of like McMahon to be bumped up a little bit in terms of value here, Gove. His hard hit rate is one of the best in baseball still. And again, playing in Yankee Stadium in a loaded lineup, I think he fits well in that ballpark as well. Out of all of the trades that happened this deadline, that's going to be, we're going to look back at this and say, this is one of the better fits, in the trade deadline here for just team context. So 16 home runs, as if you guys are watching us here, average is something left to be desired here. But like I said, guy hits the ball hard and a good fit for this lineup. So
absolutely. This is a trade that makes a ton of sense. And as Chad says, the Yankees gave up peanuts. So that's great when you could just sacrifice peanuts for a third baseman. I mean, that's a win for sure. So the power's there. McMahon can still hit. He was playing pretty well as of late. And he goes to a much better franchise that's not as nearly as depressing.
Yeah. He's got to improve on the K rate and the whiff rate. But Gove, he ranks in the 98th percentile in terms of average exit velo. And he also ranks in the 87th percentile in terms of hard hit and 79th in terms of barrel percentage. So the underlying stats could show us that something's better is on the way. So if you need third baseman or you need some pop here, I don't mind taking a flyer on Ryan McMahon.
I love it. I think it's a fantastic idea. I want to go back to what Chad said before about the Rockies are promoting Warming Burnabell to replace Ryan McMahon. Okay, so who knows anything about Warming Burnabell? Anybody? Anybody?
Tune in to Monday night when Robbie and Ben probably talk about it, because I have no idea who the hell this is. So,
well, I admit freely that I struggle to really recall anything on Warming Burnabell. There you go, though. 23-year-old. Bats right, throws right. He plays third base. And at the AAA level this year for the Rockies, 8 dongs, a couple steals, hitting .300. Of course, elevated offensive stats in Colorado Springs. Nothing dynamite here? I mean, he's been at AAA all year. Not been mind-blowing. It's been consistent. He doesn't strike out a lot. He's got a 12% strikeout rate. And a 7% walk rate this year. So it seems to me like a nondescript trash Rockies prospect, but I could be wrong.
Who was the dude that you liked prior when Tovar went down? I can't remember his name.
I liked Ritter. He's on the IL now. Yeah. Ryan Ritter?
Got it. Yeah.
That did not work out so far, but I'm not done with Ritter because baseball's a hard game. You got to learn. Yeah. He'll be back next year. But Tovar came back, hit a dong pretty quickly. He looked good. So that makes people happy, right?
Yeah, if Tovar's floating around your waiver wire, and they did say that, and I think in the early going, they'll probably limit his games in terms of letting him sit every now and then because he was dealing with, I believe it was an oblique. But if he's floating around in your waiver wire, I do like him. He'll be hitting in the heart of the order, cores. You know, you guys know the deal here. But Tovar's a good bat who's seen some improvements in his advanced metrics this year as well. He just needs to stay healthy, so.
And then closer replacements. We mentioned Felix Bautista is on the IL. And so who closes in Baltimore then? You said if Sarah Anthony gets dealt, for example, who was next?
Probably, it'd probably be a bullpen by committee. I would imagine it's probably no.
Didn't they dump his ass? Am I crazy?
No.
Is he still there?
They optioned and they brought him back up. So,
Wow.
Yeah. I would imagine it's probably Yenny Cano. But Sir Anthony Dominguez is the guy to get right now for saves now with Soto out. Soto got the save yesterday or the day before. No, it was yesterday. It was yesterday against Cleveland. But that was a matchup thing. So I think it's Sir Anthony moving forward until he gets dealt. If he doesn't get dealt, then obviously it's Dominguez's job. But if he does get dealt, I think it'll be a bullpen by committee, and I probably don't want anything to do with Baltimore's bullpen.
Well, just to give you some insight, here's the standings, what's going on. Here's the wild card, so you know who's fighting to stay alive. The Blue Jays, who are now better than the Tigers. They're playing my Tigers right now, across the river here, and they have a better record than Detroit. The Blue Jays will not go away. They're not going away this year. They're actually in the fight for real, Mike.
It literally blows my mind because I saw this exact same graphic somebody posted. I'm like, Toronto's at the top, not only at the top of the East, but like the top of the AL? Like,
yep.
This is without Anthony Santander. Like their starting rotation's nothing to write home about either. Like they don't have a dominant ace. Like do they? Like am I missing something here?
They're spoken like a true asshole.
They're just playing collectively well. I mean, Eric Lauer is still a key part of this rotation, man. So Alek Manoah, by the way, rehabbing. He's actually rehabbing now, so it's closer that he's returning.
You guys are so up your asses.
Maybe we are, but the Blue Jays are for real. They're not going anywhere. It's now a dogfight. And so I'm looking at the teams that are on the brink here. So the Red Sox continue to play well. They're very much in this. Aroldis Chapman's not going anywhere. Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, is it time to maybe... They have a plus 64 run differential, as you see on the screen here, but they're slipping. Is it time for a new manager, maybe? Is it time for Cash to go? He's been there a while.
I don't know, man. Like, I think he gets a little too cute. He's always strikes me as a little too cute of a manager here. And I know that he's kind of started the whole thing with the opener and, you know, starting a guy who throws one or two innings and then they get the guy to go later in the game. Like, he's very, very innovative, I would say. But Tampa, for me, I struggle with this one because I don't know if they're going to be buyers or sellers. I've seen Brandon Lau linked to trades. I've seen Pete Fairbanks, even though they said they wanted to keep him. You know, Taj Bradley did get sent down and got optioned back to AAA, and then they just announced today that Joe Boyle would be entering the rotation. So,
yay! Yeah! Win for us Joe Boyle people who believed.
Yeah. If they make a move, like, who would they move look for? Like, I've heard they're interested in Dylan Cease as well. This is all speculation and bullshit, but Tampa Bay's only one and a half games out of the wild card season here, or a wild card.
That is bullshit! Are
they buyers or sellers, Gove?
I don't know. I really don't. It seems like they're slipping and they're going to be sellers, but they might just try to ballot it out. Mm-hmm. I really don't know. They have, like I said, a plus 64 run differential, but the Rangers are heating up just like I knew they would. Cleveland's back to 500, as you see here. 51-51 now. They were like seven games under 2 weeks ago after the All-Star break started here. So, man, oh, man, I don't know what to make of who's in and who's out, who's on the brink here. As Chad says, do you see the Guardian stat this week that they were in every metric of time a 50-50 baseball team? There's average as it comes, he's saying. So I did not see it, but I knew Cleveland would make a run here. 7-3 in their last 10. My Tigers are slipping. So the Twins are done. I'm calling the Twins death. I always called the Angels death. We know. Go ahead, Mike. Say it.
Yeah, Baltimore's done. They've been done.
They've been done. Of course, these two trash teams are fun. They have some fun parts, but they're done. Over on the NL side, then, we know who's in. The Cubs are probably going to make the playoffs. Philly should make the playoffs. Then it's between, really, the Padres, Giants, and the Reds. I don't believe in the Cardinals. I think they're done. I'm calling them sellers. I'm calling Arizona a seller because they literally sold one already.
Yeah, Miami's going to sell, too. I saw an interesting tweet the other day, too, that they were building around Augustin Ramirez.
Kyle Stowers.
Kyle Stowers.
The guy you'd like to forget about.
God, it gives me heartburn every time I see him hit a home run.
I'm sorry, man. I love Stowers. It sucks.
Yeah. But I think Edward Cabrera is likely on the move there. Sandy Alcantara is probably on the move there. So,
hey!
But he's been pitching Sandy. Better as of late. Yeah.
Seven innings against the Padres looked outstanding. And now the hype begins just in time for the trade deadline. Get him out of there while he gets decent.
Get him out of there now. Do it. But I want to go back to the Red Sox for a second, because this is another team that is very intriguing to me, because I still don't understand why they're looking to listen or entertain offers for Jarren Duran. Like, am I missing something here? I think we talked about it a couple shows ago, but like, I guess the Padres offered Cease and Ethan Salas, and the Red Sox immediately turned it down.
I think it's over. I think that they officially today said we're not doing it.
They're not moving.
So if it's official now, apparently. Okay. Apparently. So yeah. He is going to stay. But I never bought into it, Mike. I never believed it. I thought it was just, there's the ebbs and flow of the season when they're sucking and the Red Sox fans are annoyed because they're loud. But Duran wasn't going anywhere. I just didn't buy that. We don't believe everything we read in here either.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I think Dylan Cease talk seems to be quite real. For some reason, I kind of believe it, but I don't know why, because the Padres need him, so I don't see why they would get rid of Cease either. So that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, same. He hasn't been good this year from a fantasy perspective. I get all of you who are very concerned and want to dump him, but I don't think you can, to be honest with you, just be given the elite K potential that he has. But San Diego's in it. Like, losing him would not be something that they can afford unless they're getting a valuable piece back, like a Jarren Duran. Yeah. But he's a key piece of their rotation if he can right the ship. So I'd be shocked if he gets dealt to. Yeah.
Yeah. Hogwash! It's a bunch of crap. That's what that is. I'm not buying that.
That is bullshit!
Yeah, you're right. It sure is, Charlie. Plausible Podcast, 2LTZs. We're here live talking baseball. We're talking baseball. So real quickly to wrap this up, of those teams I mentioned that I'm saying are sellers, do you like Detmers to take the closer role? Deal Kenley Jansen, because he would be a good fit for a team that's a contender. Even if he doesn't close for a team, but always has. I know that. Detmers?
Yeah. This one I struggle with because is he a close? Does he have the stuff to be a closer? Sure. But I think they've had such great success with him as a fireballer, like stopper kind of dude. I don't think they're looking to rock the boat. I did. They were toying with the fact of possibly him re-entering the rotation, and I think they shut that one down as well, which, thank God. I know everybody wanted him to be a thing. You remember when he got all that spring training hype and his spin rates and his fastball?
Oh, I've heard it a million times.
Yeah, he's just not a starter, guys. So I think we can close the book on that. Yeah, I think we can close the book on that for Detmers. Would I like him to be the closer in L.A.? I think it'd be great just to see him in that role. Because I think that, very much fits him. But if I had to put my money on something, I would probably put on the fact that they leave him where he's at. So Ryan's like Zephyr John could be a guy that they could put in there in the ninth, or give somebody else a shot. But
you got some ballers. Red Sox love Yoshida. Don't know why, says Joe G. Just don't understand it. Yeah. Seems like
money, man. Yeah. They paid him. That's why.
Sunkcost.com. Nothing like a sunk cost. Every fantasy manager knows about that, too. And then there's Helsley. Looks like Helsley will get dealt. So who closes for St. Louis after that? Phil Matone, Romero. I don't like those guys very much, but whatever. A closer is a closer for desperate people.
Ryan Helsley for me could be a guy that could be a solid back end of the bullpen. Like he could go somewhere and not be the closer. I think that's a spot for him.
Depends what they give up or who gets them, right?
Right. I could see him getting like an eighth inning role, but again, if he goes to somewhere like Philly and LA, those are the two teams for me that desperately need closer are the Phillies and the Dodgers that are still left.
Desperate for the Dodgers?
Yeah. Who do they got?
They got guys. They got Kirby Yates. Kirby Yates was amazing last year.
But he struggled. I believe he struggled the game after Tanner Scott got hurt. So
he did. He did. But he had to save the game before that, too. Just saying. So right. I believe in Yates still. I think that's a quality. They signed all. Remember in the offseason, the Dodgers had signed Tanner Scott and they signed all these relievers like, dude, who's going to close? And they got Michael Kopech and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And now here we are.
Yeah. But would it surprise you at all to see them go out and get a guy like Emmanuel Clase, Ryan Helsley, David Bednar? Like, for me personally, I think Bednar is a perfect fit for them. Because I think he'd be cheap where they can get him. So
absolutely, I agree with that. David Robertson is now a Philly. That happened recently while we were in between shows. So get excited for that, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Great job. I'm not big on David Robertson. Forgive me too. Like, he's old. Why do people like him so much?
It's just because it's Philly. They're a team that wins, and there's saves on the table. These people we're maniacs. What am I saying? These people? I'm one of them. We're maniacs for save attempts. Gotta have it. Who's the new guy? I don't give a shit. I'm always desperate for a save because I don't have steady Yeti closers.
But they talked about. I know you guys are talking about it in the live chat. They paid him $16 million. He's going to be the closer. He hasn't closed though, has he? Like I think Matt Strom got the ninth a game or two ago.
Yeah, because he had to go to the minors to get ready. Because when I added him on Sunday in one league, he had the minor league tag on him. So I assume they had to get him going first. He didn't immediately. Mm-hmm. He's not immediately in play from what I gathered, and then he will come up when he's ready. But he's at AAA for the moment, so it's a prorated contract, I believe, not actually $16 million, but whatever. So.
I gotta tell you, I don't think that they go into the playoffs with David Robertson as their closer, regardless of how much money they spent.
Get ready.
So
he's been there before. We'll he's a trusted leader to them. That's why they loved him so much. They didn't sign him in the preseason or anything like that. They waited till late July to sign him. That's how much they love him.
Well, I got to bring this up here too, Chad. There's a reason why nobody signed him though. Like he waiting for an opportunity. Like he was waiting for an opportunity for what? To close? Because he probably could have gotten good money to be a reliever, but there's a reason why nobody wanted him and didn't sign him for going into the offseason. And we're in July and he got signed. So
the only thing I can say is I don't know his personal story. You know, he is very old. He could have thought, I'm done. I just want to retire. So maybe he changed his mind and got more motivated. I don't know. I don't know that part of it. I haven't read the beautiful human interest story that you can find on ESPN.com. Behind the man, David Robertson.
With Rich Eisen.
Oh, shit, that's funny. Okay, so I'm closing out this section by saying I would think... I don't think... All right, I guess Finnegan will get dealt. I'm going to say Finnegan gets dealt just because it's a new regime. But the old regime kept him every year and didn't ever trade him. But since they got rid of Rizzo and Martinez, I'm going to say the new regime just dumps his ass. And I'm going to say I like Cole Henry, a guy that's not on the radar right now for saves. But think about Cole Henry as a possible closer to close out 2025 for Washington based on trade scenarios that may or may not take place. And it also looks like Carlos Estevez is not going to be dealt now. The Royals are heating up a bit, and I think they're just going to make a run with the team as is. I think they are.
Yeah. Remember when everybody was calling for Lucas Urseg to be the closer there in the beginning of the season?
Sure. I picked him up in a league last week because I thought Estevez would get dealt this week. But now that doesn't seem to be the case to me. This is how things change quickly, right? Blah, 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 blah. But the Royals are 3 games under .500, 5-5 over the last 10, and they are 4.5 games out of the final playoff spot. That's very doable. So they're going to fight.
Very, very doable. Right? So we'll see.
Yeah.
That's Uncle Ted, it. I think, was the Royals closer last year. But yeah, but that's why they went out and got Estevez, though. So
that's true. It's strange that they did. It says a lot about how they felt about Urstig. That's a fair point. Okay, let's... I don't even know who it is, but I'm going to play it anyways because it's fun. Who is annoying the hell out of us this week here on the Palazzo Podcast?
You know they spray virus on beef rather than clean the rat shit out of the slaughterhouses?
That's the worst. God, it never changes.
I wish I could take your glass and the butt of your glass. I want to throw it under his chin. I wish I could do that.
Here's one for the road from Star. Brock Stewart will be the closer in Minnesota when Jackson Duran get dealt, which we talked about on the show recently. A couple weeks ago, we had this exact conversation.
Yep.
So, anybody come to mind annoying you lately?
It's happened lately. It's been all season long. The Houston Astros / Yordan Alvarez.
There it is.
Yeah, every week it's, hey, my hand feels better, or hey, I'm hitting again. Jesus, man, how long do we need? Something's going on there too, and I guess I've read something because I do have one singular share of Yordan Alvarez, and one of them said a doctor told him that it was a hard spot to have surgery on, and he's just going to have to live with it. And then there was a quote that Yordan said that, like, hey, like, I feel better, but I still think I really should rest. Bro, you've been resting since May. Like, how much more time do you need?
Yeah, come on. So, dude, it drags on and on and on and on and on and on and on. They've been teasing us. It's been ultimate cock tease, I must say.
Yeah. Like, when does he come back? I have no clue for those of you guys who keep asking me. I wish I had an idea. I don't. I don't think anybody does. The Astros know, and Yordan Alvarez knows, and that's it. So.
Oh, no. Poor Bizza. Pukey Mookie and Yordan were my first two picks in the Mike VA League. How's that going? Mookie is back in Boston, his old haunt, but not playing tonight for mysterious personal reasons. So
I don't know why Mookie Betts has been so bad either. Like, that's been a head scratcher for me. Here's a good question though, Gov. Do you look at Mookie, despite how bad he's been, do you look at a good window to buy low on Mookie Betts, or are you out?
No, I have to, particularly because August for his career is like one of his best month is really August historically. So I was looking into this for July. I liked him to heat up in July. He hasn't really done that. He hit like a home run or two in the beginning of the month. I'm like, okay, it's happening. Yeah. But then it didn't happen. But so I'm still thinking it will. I know Dave McDonald, friend of a show from Cleveland. Shout out to him. He telling me Mookie was injured this year. He never would have drafted Mookie. He didn't draft Mookie, so he's smarter than I am. I only drafted him in my main event, which is the most expensive league, of course. So I actually benched him for the weekend. I'm starting Tyler Freeman over him this weekend.
Wow.
Interesting.
Genius. It's also a smart move because Roberts did come out and say that, you know, he wasn't going to play today either. So who knows how long that personal matter lasts as well. So hope everything's okay, because here's the other thing, and you probably know better than anybody here, Gov. Maybe it's something mental for him, and maybe he's battling something, which is also a reason for his poor play this season. He's probably got something going on personally, and just maybe the mental health isn't there for him. So,
His hard hit, look, he hurt his hand last year. If you remember, he had the hand injury, and his hard hit rate dropped last year a lot. And I thought it had something to do with that, kind of like, Is it zapped or sapped his power? Did it sap his power or zap his
Yeah.
So we're doing a lot of,
I think I'm ready for my answer. I think they're interchangeable.
Yeah, for that one, I agree. Yeah, so it sapped his power, I thought, and I thought it would come back this year, but that hasn't been the case. Some people are saying he's getting old, but he's only 32. He's not dead. He's moved to leadoff spot, too, this week before we had the personal reasons thing. It was a new change, and leading off for the Dodgers is a goldmine spot to be in, so it's hard not to buy into that if you have interest. But I don't know. He also got really sick. Remember, really, really sick at the beginning of the year. He lost a ton of weight.
Shit ton of weight, yeah.
Shit ton of weight, yeah.
I don't think this is something, too, that it's Father Time related. I know Chad had mentioned that as well. He is getting older. I think we're maybe past the prime Mookie stages. But people forget, this is a world-class athlete, dude. Like, this guy's a great golfer as well as also, like, he could
great be
a
bowler.
Bowler, yeah. Like, I know that sounds like I made it up. I swear to God it's true. He's a really, really good bowler and a really good golfer as well. So, and I'm pretty sure he could play football because I think I've seen some tapes where he like burned a DB one time. So something's going on with Mookie. I don't know what the personal reason is, but Gov, don't you think that's a little that's something there? Like, what do you think that personal thing could be?
Yeah,
and has he been battling it all season? So
yeah, he might be depressed and he might just. It might be at a crossroads. He could have something personal going on that he doesn't know how to deal with, that it's affecting his play. Or he could just be bummed out about his play, and that's making him have personal problems. You know? He's been back to Boston already since he was traded. I mean, that was a while ago. So it's not like this is news either. I don't buy into that. I don't know. I have no idea, man. We could just start making up shit, and it'd be just as accurate, in my opinion, because I just don't know what's going on with the dude. And it just sucks that the one league that's probably the most important to me is the one where I have to deal with him in it, because otherwise I don't have him anywhere else. Wasn't big on bets this year. I just took him at the turn in the 15 spot of my main event with Gunnar Henderson, who's been okay, but he hasn't been the guy he was last year, which is what you expect for a first-round pick. Ah!
Yep. He has not been the first-round Gunnar. He's been solid.
Wow, dude.
He's been solid. Yeah, solid. Yeah. But I'm looking for the first-rounder. Anyways, Frank said he traded his shirt for Emmanuel Clase. Actually, it was Sonny Gray 3 weeks ago. Oh, okay.
Nice job.
Well, great job.
Great job.
That's a good deal right there.
Yep.
Stars telling me that Freeman hasn't played well since early June. Well, I don't think that's really accurate. I mean, do we have to break this down?
I think so. I think he's right. There's been a couple times, at least I wouldn't say early. I don't know if it's as early as early June, but he hasn't been hitting well either.
Well, he still hits leadoff for the Rockies. Look at this. He gets on base, drives in some runs, scores some runs. He doesn't have any power. I admit that freely. There's no power here, but he gets hits, gets on base, and steals bags. I'm seeing a lot of games with hits in him. He doesn't have power. You're right. There's just no power there. And I don't need Tyler Freeman for power. I'm using him for steals and getting on base and scoring runs. And that is something he can do okay. So in a 15-teamer, he's rosterable.
Yeah. I think they're talking about Freddie. They're talking about Freddie Freeman.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Star Platinum. I jumped the gun because I mentioned Tyler Freeman in the Mookie Betts exchange. And look at me. I'm just going off the rails. But if you watch this network, the Palazzo Podcast Network, there was a bust named Freddie Freeman. There was a video about it. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. And
so I'm right about everything. So.
That ankle injury, too, that I believe he had. Was it an ankle that he slipped or something like that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he was going to be dealing with that all season long, which that scared me off as well. I never draft Freddie Freeman. Oh, Chad's talking about Tyler Freeman.
Yeah, okay. So what the hell? See, I'm getting mixed signals here, guys. That's why. I'm not blaming anyone. I'm the idiot. Let's just move forward. But Freddie Freeman, I don't have any shares. Do you have any?
No, I have his own. I never draft him. I don't know why. I never draft him.
Yeah. After last year, that to me, that was like the coup de grace. That was like the chef's kiss ultimate. They win a World Series. It's a hell of a year. It doesn't get any better than that at 35, in my opinion, for a guy like Freddie Freeman. Serviceable, but I'm not taking him in round 3 or round 2 like some people did. So.
Yeah.
Okay. What about, I don't know. I played this last week, and most people on the podcast side never hear it, but they did get to hear it. So let's roll back with it. Let's do a little Return of the Mac. Shout out to Jake Hellisker, who loved it. He loved it so much, he even texted me about it. He said he actually laughed when he heard the Foreigner song. Thank you, Jake. That made my day.
Utah, give me two.
Here's Johnny.
Where were you?
Nowhere.
Shut up.
Where were you?
I've been waiting for you.
But I always thought that I'd see you again.
Somehow Palpatine returned.
I'll be back.
And here we go.
That was a really, really well done. So if those, whoever asked the question about movies, yeah, it's a movie and baseball show. So
you damn right it is. This is a show about everything. You know that. If you don't know that by now, if you're new, we welcome all kinds of discussions about anything. We try to focus on the topic at hand, of course. And some of us are better doing that than others. I get sidetracked, especially when Britton's on the show. He can get me on a tangent like that. He's the master. Yep. You're the master, Britton. I love you. Where are you right now? You in the Smoky Mountains? You in Mystic River? Chad says, Govia, would you trade Reese Olson for Brenton Doyle in Dynasty?
No. I would not do that.
You thought about it.
I did. Being that we've only seen, we saw a huge regression here from Brenton Doyle this year, and another bust that Govia called at the beginning of the season. So shout out Gov.
That one I nailed. I mean, the other ones have been up and down, but that one's been lock solid.
Yeah. I'd rather have Reese Olson, honestly, there, Chad. Solid. Again, sorry to be this guy, but it depends on team context. But Reese Olson for me is a solid SP3, SP4 moving forward, and potential to be something even greater. So I'd rather have Olson.
Yeah, I would rather have Reese Olson, too. I really like him. I know pitchers in Dynasty are not my preference, but we still need them. So I'd rather have him over Doyle. I just don't. Rockies, just get out of my face, man. Go away. Come back in 10 years. Blow the whole thing up. Build it from scratch. But we're not going to get different people. That's the problem with Colorado. It's just the same behind-the-scenes minions screwing it up over and over and over again. It's very sad.
Nick Moniak just hit a dong. He's been money this year. It's crazy to me.
That's so stupid. Yeah. Mickey Moniak. Look, this guy, this is what he does. He was made to play at Coors. It's perfect because all he really does is hit dongs. And he's done a lot of that. He's got 15, like you said. And he's going to end up having a 20-dong season. No doubt about it. But he's not a guy that he's great for head-to-head. You can have him in spurts. But season-long, he doesn't last. But he does have his purpose and service in a weekly matchup in a multi- 3-week stretch where he goes on a roll like this, Mike. You're right. He does.
Yeah. I think he's a guy you can ride the wave with for sure, especially playing his games in course. He does sit against some lefties as well, but he's been really hard to ignore right now. So if you need somebody that can hit and deliver some pop, Joe, you mentioned when are my guys going to start hitting again? Maybe look at Mickey Moniak, guy you can ride while he's hot there. So
yeah, I love it. I'm fine with that. I mean, it's hot right now in Coors, and everything's cooking, and they're cooking with gas.
Coors.
In the Rocky Mountains. I love it. Mm. Return of the Mac. So
yep.
It's not that exciting, but Gabriel Arias is back for Cleveland. He's in the lineup tonight, so he's back for Cleveland. He's been useful at times, so it's worth mentioning. Tyler Black, called up by the Brewers. We've been down this road before. I have had a romance, a deep, passionate, intense romance that didn't last with Tyler Black. It was beautiful. We made sweet love, and the problem is, you know, I didn't get called. Yeah, I got ghosted, man. We had like a great time. We went out to this burger joint, and we had a great night. We laughed. We made out. It was like one of the best dates I ever had, and then Tyler Black just wasn't there on Monday. I kept texting, and where are you? I'm doing shit. I'm not hitting. I'm not doing anything. I've been demoted to AAA. I'm sorry. I got to leave you, Govier. And that's what happened.
Mm. There you go.
So I don't know what to expect now.
We'll see.
So I assume you're not that thrilled about it. You're not really like, oh, Tyler Black. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, not for me.
No.
We'll see. A couple other guys that I wanted to talk about. Luis Gil. If you don't have him, I would be looking to acquire him or get him scooped up immediately. Boone said he likely make another rehab start, but I could see him back next weekend here, Gove. This time next week, we could see the season debut of Luis Gil for the New York Yankees.
you like I that? Forgot I was doing this last week. Sorry. Brian says this. You're out on Tyler Black. You better run a check.
So you better run a check.
Yeah. I think I used that button like 15 times. I did the Fab Show by myself last Sunday. I kept just... Yeah. I got to check myself again. What can I say? I better run a check.
Well, for the record, though, have you indeed checked yourself? Because it's a little unknown if you wrecked yourself or not.
It is. It's unclear. So you better run a check. That's why you better run a check. That's the only... The first, you have to run the check. Then you find out the truth if you checked yourself or wrecked yourself. But you can't find out unless you run the check.
That's right. You can't put the cart before the horse, you know?
Great job.
So, yeah, that's exactly right. I think Ice Cube said that.
That's right. If you like Luis Gil, go 46% rostered in Yahoo. He does have plus 4% over the last week, so people are catching on.
You know, I do. The guy looked great last year for the most part. I think he got a little tired at the end of last season. It was a lateral injury that was the original genesis of this issue that he's coming back from. It's not an elbow thing or anything that's so worrying. Because I'm out on stashes, Mike. I'm trying to make this clear. We haven't talked as much lately, but I'm done with pitcher stashes. This is like a new policy of mine going forward into 2026. I'm not going to be jumping in to like wait for a guy coming back from TJ in stashes. If there is a leg issue or something else, that's different. But elbows, shoulders, major issues, it's not worth it to me. The returns are too little historically. So I think heel's an exception here because it's a little different. But I could be wrong. But I'm willing to take the risk with him.
Yeah. Lat issue for Luis Gil. That's why he's been out all year. And it's been crazy, too, because while lat injuries are not the same as shoulder or elbow, they are really long to come back from. So, i.e. Luis Gil. So, but to Go's point, it's not his gun that's been hurting him. So, good team context with New York here. Rookie of the year, Luis Gil's a guy that I like. If you have roster space to stash him, he could be back next week. So, Spencer Arrighetti, another guy.
He's
pitching today for the Hooks, I believe. So he's another guy that probably need a couple more rehab starts. But I've seen mixed messages on this here, Goff. I've seen him as coming back as early as next week, depending on how this rehab start goes. I don't think that'll be the case. Same thing. It was a broken thumb, so it wasn't a shoulder or elbow or anything, or lat. So
freak injury.
Yeah, so I think this is a guy that, again, if he looks good, could be back as early as next weekend, and we could see Spencer Arrighetti there as well. Aaron Nola nearing rehab assignment, facing hitters today. Friday.
Hey, your buddy. Good.
Yeah, God, man. I remember being on the show, and you and I both saying like, well, we're just not big Aaron Nola guys. And the one year I drafted him like in almost all of my league, he gets fucking hurt and sucks. So,
woo!
Great job.
Love fantasy baseball. Love it so much. He's facing hitters, so I think mid-August return for him. And then the last guy I want to talk about really quick here, Gov, Max Muncy, rehab games right around the corner. The Dodgers' Max Muncy, not the
other one just went on the IL, though, too, so that is noteworthy.
Yep. So I could see him back early August for Max Muncy. I know a lot of people dropped him when he had his bone bruise, which is, again, another freak injury there. So, and the Dodgers need his bat in the lineup because they have been doo-doo. So go and look and see if Max Muncy's available.
Good power source. Remember, he got the glasses, pulled the Ricky Vaughn back in action, blah, blah, blah. Oh, here you go. Moniak homered. I think that's what Mike was alluding to, but thank you, Frank. I want to clarify this. Uncle Ted brings up, see, people are going to do this. What about Yuri Perez? Well, he's been good now. It's not 100% either way. I'm just saying, Yuri Perez is the exception. I even drafted or added him in a couple of leagues when he was coming back, planning to give him a ride. But I'd say 8 times out of 10, you don't get the guy ready to go after 2 or 3 starts coming back from TJ in major surgeries as a pitcher. So there are exceptions. I admit that.
There's always exceptions to the rule. But to Go's point, I would bet on that side of not performing the way like they used to. But and if you remember correctly, too, Yuri Perez struggled out of the gate. I know he's righted the ship and he looks great. Here's the thing, though, too, that doesn't get talked about nearly enough, especially with guys like Yuri, Shane Bieber when he comes back, Brandon Woodruff. Well, a different situation because his team's in the playoff hunt, but in a division crown. But for a guy like Yuri Perez, there's going to be an innings limit. And I know that there's not something people want to hear. I know that. I'm sorry. That will happen. I promise you that. So you're going to get a handful of good starts from Yuri Perez, and Come fantasy baseball playoff time, I don't know if we're going to be looking at Yuri Perez as a key contributor. I hope I'm wrong, because I do have some shares of Yuri. I love him, but I think he's a guy that they will look to limit down the stretch, as well as go Paul Skenes, Emmett Sheehan, those guys. They're going to limit. They've already been rumblings about Skenes being shut down closer to the end of the year. Not shut down, but his starts being limited. So, which is never a good thing either. But Emmett Sheehan's another guy that that will have his innings capped. It's just going to be one of those situations too. Jacob Mizrowski, I know he's not coming off an injury or whatever, but that's something to think about. I know we're doing a segue here slightly, and I'm derailing here off course.
You're doing fine. There's no derail. You're great.
Yeah. I want you guys to take a look at your teams and look at could these situations happen, because they very well could. We've already seen Jacob Mizrowski only go three innings in his last start. Some of these guys who have injuries that aren't in contention for playoff races, there's no point in rushing these guys back. I got an issue, question about Spencer Schwellenbach. There's been rumblings that he could be returning in September, but the Braves are going to be out of it. There's no reason for them to roll him out back out there. He might be done for the year. So just something to think about. Love it. Thank you. I talked about that movie at work, by the way, which we can talk about offline. But
well, that's always fun to talk about Ransom at work.
I know. but Yuri Perez is at the top of that list here for me that, again, they will shut him down. So,
yeah, good point. So yeah. Makes sense to me.
Is it a glockenspiel?
Just a mini xylophone. Yeah, there you go.
Clean up
time, children. Come on, clean it up. I'm your kindergarten teacher. Michael King is throw simulated game, so maybe he gets to help out the Padres soon. Star Platinum mentioned earlier, Johnny DeLuca's back. I don't know where he fits in with Tampa's offense. I mean, if there's a trade here, then DeLuca gets more playing time if they give up. But you got Josh Lowe, and of course Chandler Simpson, as was mentioned in the chat. So that outfield is stacked for Tampa. I don't know how DeLuca fits in. I just don't. I kind of like him, but I just don't know where the playing time is. Bailey Ober, all systems go?
That is an interesting one, and I'm wanting to hear your take on this as well, because a lot of people attributed his struggles to his hip injury. He doesn't look good, me being one of them as well. How do we feel about Bailey Ober? Is this a guy that you are looking to add if he was dropped? Because he was so bad, or he was dropped in a lot of leagues.
Yes, I picked him up.
Okay.
I think with Ober, if the hip issue was the problem, yes, he got ripped up, but he still was missing a lot of bats. So it showed you that there's something still there, and if it is injury-related, that slight change could mean a vast improvement. And to me, but the guy who's shown you he's done it before, it's worth taking a risk on adding him to see if it works out. That's how I see it.
Yeah. Are you one of those – are you maybe – here's another question. Would you add him and then maybe bench him to see how his first couple starts go before rolling him out there, or are you all systems go Bailey Ober?
It depends how desperate I was. I would bench him. In one league, I will be benching him just to see how it goes and then go from there. But if I was desperate, I'd be willing to do it. I'd take a shot, but
there you go.
I'm not in that position. I'm very lucky. That's not to say I'm good or that my teams are good. It's just the teams where I have Ober, I don't need to do that. So, yeah.
Frank wants to know what's the best way to deal with plantar fasciitis. I assume you're talking about Brandon Lau, which was later diagnosed as ankle tendonitis, not plantar fasciitis. So,
Is that worse?
Yeah, but I actually would, depending on how bad plantar fasciitis was, I've had it a couple times myself, and it is a motherfucker. It does hurt. And
it's how do you get rid of it?
Ultrasound, as well as they do they roll your foot out, myofascial release. So the fascia that runs across your footbed right there gets really, really tight, and it's like a plastic bag material. So what they'll do is they'll sit there and groove inside all up and down your foot and groove in there, and it sounds like construction paper crunching up in there, and then they'll roll your foot out like on a golf ball. They say it's one of those things, if you catch it sooner and don't wait on it, you can it goes away in a couple of weeks. But if it's one of those things where you just continue to play through it and continue to make it worse, it takes a long time to come back from. So much sometimes where it gets so tight. Tennis ball is another good thing. Yeah. So much that it gets so tight that they have to go in and snip it to make it loose. So they have inserts and stuff like that to make it better. But tight calves, tight hamstrings, also a culprit.
Oh, wow. Hell of an information dump there. Woo! Why are you apologizing? That was awesome. that made the show worth watching, dude. Are you kidding me? I think the first time I ever heard of plantar fasciitis was Rick Smits on the Pacers. He was like 7 foot. The Duncan Dutchman. He was like 7'4", and yeah, he had plantar fasciitis. It happens. So.
Yep.
All right. Well, we gave you like 1 hour and 7 minutes. That's good, right? Anything else you want to cover? You did a good job.
Closing thoughts here really quick. Especially, I'm not just saying this because it's the trade deadline in real life. I think it's worth noting, too, and we talked about this on a couple other shows as well. I'm sure a lot of your trade deadlines are coming up in your leagues, or they've already passed. But a couple things. Keep your eye on Twitter. Keep your eye on MLB.com, wherever you get your news and information, because when the news breaks, some of these guys gets traded, you want to be quickly to hop on the guys that are filling in as the next closer. Maybe a prospect gets called up, whatever it may be. These can really make or break your seasons here, folks, and especially if you have a team need that you can address. So make sure you guys are doing that.
Did you hear it? Listen up, folks, okay?
You guys are so up your asses. Your asses.
We may it's be.
It's like a bag of sand.
Bag of sand, man. Speaking of trade deadlines, I had my trade deadline in my home league Wednesday night. Well, we couldn't tell. Yahoo is cryptic. So Yahoo says your trade deadline is on July 24th. And people didn't know if that meant at midnight when the 24th starts or as the day ends, because it doesn't make that clear. So we were all wondering all day. Everybody made trades on Wednesday, but it turns out we did have Thursday. So we all wake up after all these I did something I probably regret, but actually after, let's see, 6 years on my team, I traded away Ronald Acuña Jr. This is a keep forever. So he could have been on my team till he retires, and I traded him away in a stupid panic. I got 6 first-round picks back, but they're not the first-round picks of a 1-1 because we keep 10 guys, 14-team league, so it's after 140, so it's not as special. But I also got Noelvi Marte, who's a keeper to me that I will keep. And they threw in Rafaela. So I got Rafaela and Marte and those picks. It's not it might not be terrible. I think Marte can end up being a very special player. And if that works out, then that trade will be fine for me.
I said this the other day. Somebody asked me this question. I still believe in Noelvi Marte. I think the best is yet to come for him. And Sidan Rafaela is flourishing as well and starting to come into his own. But, Gov, I have a question about that trade. You got 6 first-round picks, so I assume this includes first-year player drafts, so like you can go out and get guys that are coming, you know, getting drafted.
Anybody.
Do you know where you pick, or is this based off of, like, how the season goes? Like, for instance, if you finish in first, or the last. Okay, got it.
Yep, the last-place team. I'm in 10th, but I got the last-place team's pick, too, plus, like, the second-to-last team. So it's pretty safe. I'll probably have the number one, but technically, I could lose it. It's possible, but... highly unlikely. I should have the first overall choice of anybody left after we declare keepers.
There you go. All right. Well, good deal. So you got your choice. So I actually like that move. Six of them is a lot, and you can build a solid core if majority of these guys hit. And depending on where you're drafting at, in first year player drafts, and it's a keep forever, and you get a tantalizing prospect like maybe like a Paul Skeens type. You never know. So I guarantee you that. You'll have a hitter or a pitcher that you're going to be comfortable with, and maybe a handful. 6 years from now, we'll look back and say that was a good trade. So,
thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Wow, dude!
I won 2 titles with Acuña, so that was worth it. We had a great life together, and I'll always miss him. But I wish him the best, and I look forward to competing against him the rest of the season and next year. But the rest of the trade deadlines will be coming up in my other leagues, and then... there's also the real trade deadline. Like we said, we talked in depth about a lot of closer positions that could move or change hands. Last week, me and Sam talked about Naylor being dealt. He gets dealt. So if you want to go back and watch the me and Sam show or listen to it, we kind of predicted some more trades. We're not going to do all of that here again. But is there anybody else that you're certain will be traded here in the next few days before we close, Mike? You obviously think that Eugenio's gone or no? Is it possible he's not?
It's funny because if you asked me 2 days ago, I would have said yes. But after everything I read today, it looks like they want a King's ransom, and rightfully so. I did hear that if the price is not right, they'll just look to re-sign him next year, which makes a lot of sense for Arizona. So But I would venture to say he gets out. I think teams will get desperate at the deadline to look to acquire his bat. So I would say he's for sure gone. And outside of that, there's not really anybody that really stands out to me as like, yeah, sayonara. But we'll see. I love the trade deadline every year. It's fun because there will be trade that we're going to say, what the hell? Where did that come from? Somebody will make a big splash. So it'll be fun.
Hopefully the Tigers do.
Yeah.
Hopefully the Tigers get it. The Tigers need a legit veteran hitter who can hit and be a leader for them. And I'd be fine with a reliever, but I don't think they need another starter. I think they have enough starters to win a World Series with. I truly do. I think they can make it happen with who they have as a starting rotation. It's just the offense. If you look at what Seattle just added here, Mike, think about a playoff series now. Seattle's lineup, and the Tigers taking on that lineup versus what Tigers have, I think it kind of pales in comparison, man. They got Cal Raleigh, Randy Arozarena, now they got Naylor. They got Julio Rodriguez. I mean, that is a formidable lineup to me.
Yeah, we were shitting on them last year. They had all the good, I think we did in the beginning of the year too. They have all the good pitching, but they can't hit. Now they have the hitters, so
they have like been hitting.
I said been better for them. Sam in our group chat too. I think, or maybe I was talking to Sam about it. Seattle's a team for me that again is going to be really scary come playoff time because if they're all their pitchers get healthy, like you know, Gilbert and Kirby and Luis Castillo, and who knows if they – I don't think they're done either. I think they're going to go out and push their chips all in.
They are. They got a payroll green light to go crazy still, even after the Naylor deal.
Yep. So we'll see. So
the Tigers have to compete with that. I think Seattle's better than Houston. I think they'll beat them in a series. I really do. I think Houston is a paper Tiger. They get a lot of what they've done. Last year, my Tigers beat them. So I know Seattle could beat them. I don't fear Houston anymore. I really don't. Not at all. So yeah. – I just hope the Tigers make a couple moves. But as far as fantasy goes, I think we covered a lot of the areas we think or we're hope to like to see things happen. I hope maybe Sandy Alcantara gets traded and he could be a relevant starter for a team down the stretch here for our head-to-head playoffs and our roto leagues. I'd like to see that personally. That'd be cool. Otherwise, yeah. I'll wait with bated breath just like you, Mike, and wonder what's going to happen. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep.
Palazzo Podcast, 2Ls2Zs. Follow Mike Virginia at underscore Mike VA. He's the man. Palazzo Podcast, 2Ls2Zs. I'm
an
MJ Gobier. It's Robbie Baseball, Big Gentle Ben, Sam Worshing, wherever he's hanging out at. Britton Allen, 2Ts, 2Ls, of course. And we'll be back on Sunday for the Fab Show, and we'll find out who will be on the cover and leading the way. I will say also that you get tickets still for First Pitch Arizona. The emails blast have been sent out. We're going to be there this year. Ben's coming for the first time. We're going to have a lot of fun. If you've always wanted to hang out with us in person and talk baseball, it's a great weekend. If you can afford to get to Arizona, November 6th through 9th, come join us. We do a live show. We'll interact with you. Instead of in a chat where we type things, we'll actually yell at each other in real time. It's a lot of fun. You can yell right in my face. I welcome it. So get out to Mesa, Arizona, November 6th through 9th, baseballhq.com. Definitely worth it if you can do it. If you have the means and the funds, totally do it. If you have the time, do it, okay? It's totally worth it. That's it. For Mike Virginia, I'm Michael Govia. We're now going to close it out. We're going to give it over to Captain Jack. I'm very excited for the arrival of your daughter, Mike. It's been a fun show. And that'll be it.
Bye.
All right, lads. Now, I know there's not a faint heart among you. And I know you're as anxious as I am to get into close action. But we must bring him right up beside us before we spring this trap. That will test our nerve. And discipline will count just as much as courage. The Acheron is a tough nut to crack. More than twice our guns, more than twice our numbers. And they will sell their lives dearly. They mean to take us as a prize. And we are worth more to them undamaged. Their greed will be their downfall. England is under threat of invasion. And though we be on the far side of the world, this ship is our home. This ship is England. So it's every hand to his rope or gun, quick's the word and sharp's the action. After all, surprise is on our side.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.